Well, we've been talking about January and February almost exclusively living in view of the end. And as we look at the summation today from chapter 12, verses 9 through 14, I want you to see that Solomon is going to sum this all up by saying, I want to tell you what is man's A-double-L. I want you to know what is man's all. And he's going to preface it by a couple of different things before we get to verses 13 and 14. And he prefaces it by talking about the incredible power of words. And think with me today as we look at verses 9 through 14 about the words that we're given here to sum up the book of Ecclesiastes. And moreover, because the preacher was wise, he still taught the people knowledge. Yes, he pondered and sought out many proverbs. The preacher sought to find acceptable words. What was written upright, words of truth. The words of the wise are like goads, and the words of scholars are like well-driven nails given by one shepherd. And further, my son, be admonished of these, of making many books there is no end, and much study is wearisome to the flesh. So let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is man's all. For God will bring every work into judgment, including every secret thing, whether good or evil. I want you to look on the screen that words constantly give birth to emotions. Think about this. We weep. We laugh. Kind of reminds me of Romans 12 and verse 15. Weep with those who weep. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Sometimes we wince. We have or see rage. Some people still blush. And hopefully, Marcia, people still smile. All of these words are giving birth to various emotions that are going on in our lives from a day-to-day basis. Think about how words change things. Turn left. Uh-oh, I've changed the direction. I was going this direction, but I turned left. Now I'm going this direction. So words have very powerful meanings. You remember your wedding? You said, I will. And you said, I do. And those are more than words. They give birth to meaning and emotion in our lives. And so I want us to see what Solomon is saying here as he prefaces what he's about to say in a summation. But I do want you to know that words can also be weapons. I'm sorry to reference this lady, but I'm going to reference her in a song. Cher said in one of her songs, words are like weapons, they wound sometimes. And you and I know how true that is, that words can be weapons. I hate you! What? What? I'll go to my grave. I've heard people say this. I will never forgive you. Words are weapons. I never want to see you again. I'm sorry. I am sorry. I love you. Sometimes it's not altogether the words we say, but it's how we say them. And we know that's true. So words can be weapons in people's lives. I thought it was interesting in John 1 and verse 1 that Jesus is referred to just as the Word. Have you read that lately? In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. There must be something about words and the Word, because Jesus is referred to in John 1:1. In the beginning was the Word. And the beginning goes back about 7,000 years to Genesis 1, where he talked about making us in his image, the image of God, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, or the Hebrew for God, Elohim, which is plural, meaning that Jesus was in the beginning. So in the beginning was that Word. Maybe in Ecclesiastes chapter 12, verse 1, Solomon is suggesting to us why we need to remember our Creator. Did you see it? Remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth, because the difficult days are coming. And those difficult days are the aging process that begins to set in. And he talks about that in verses 3, 4, 5, 6, even 7. That eventually we will return to the dust of the ground, and the spirit will return to God who gave it. But that process begins. And we've talked about this pretty extensively throughout Ecclesiastes, that there is a difference for many of us. There's a disconnect between the mirror and the mind. That sometimes when we look in the mirror, we don't realize we are the age that we are. And it doesn't matter if we go to the fountain of youth. It doesn't matter if we find every type of Botox that we can inject into our skin. We are the age we are. And we can never reverse that or change that. So there is a disconnect a lot of times between the mirror and the mind. That's why I need to remember my Creator, because the difficult days come. Solomon said in verse 9 that he taught people with knowledge. That word knowledge comes from a word we use, the word gnosis. He taught people knowledge. And what we have given in January and February, we've given people the knowledge that came from the mind of Solomon, that came from the mind of the Holy Spirit, that eventually came from the mind of God. All these lessons have been traced back to the mind of God. He said, I gave acceptable words which were upright and true. You know what a challenge is? It is a challenge for us on a day-to-day basis to say words that are upright and true. That's a challenge we face. We face that in relationships we have with people. To say, you know what, I'm going to say an upright and true word in this relationship. And that's what life is full of. Life is full of relationships. And so I'm called upon to do what the preacher told me to do through the Holy Spirit. And what God said, I've got to give acceptable words in my speech. Words that encourage and strengthen and help and heal. Words that are upright and true. I think it's safe to say in the book of Ecclesiastes that the preacher gave us from time to time some very piercing words. I want you to see some of those. And as you see some of those, he mentions the word goads. What are goads? Well, they were staffs with sharp nails embedded in them, where they would go and they would poke and prod the animal. Many times to get the animal back where that animal needed to be. And here in Ecclesiastes chapter 12, he talked about words like that. Look at verse 11. The words of the wise are like goads. Those words that are sharp, that help keep people in the place that they need to be. And some of the piercing words that Solomon gave us. I just want to run three maybe references to those words that we have looked at earlier. And it's in 4:2, 7:1, and 11:8. 4:2, 7:1, and 11:8. Solomon said a very peculiar thing here in chapter 4. He says, Therefore, I praise the dead who are already dead more than the living who are still alive. That has a way to pierce your soul. 7:1. A good name is better than precious ointment, and the day of death than the day of one's birth. You know what I have to believe? I have to believe this through study, lifestyle, following God's plan for my life. Here's what I have to believe. I have to believe that my death day should be celebrated more than any of my birthdays. Because as we sang, this world is not my home. I'm passing through. My treasures are laid up somewhere beyond the blue, beyond the sky. And so Solomon gave a piercing word to us that the day of our death can be a whole lot better than the day of our birth. And then 11:8. We looked at this last week. If a man lives many years and rejoices in them all, let him remember the days of darkness, for they will be many. All that is coming is vanity. And when you put all three of those scriptures together, I think really what Solomon is saying, in my view of understanding, is this. You're going to die. Moses died. Abraham died. Joshua died. Jacob died. Joseph died. Rahab died. Lydia died. Peter died. Paul died. And the list goes on and on and on. Solomon died. David died. And the lesson for us is, get ready, because you're going to die. Now, having said that, I think the next two verses are the reason why maybe the book was written in the first place. Let's look at it. Chapter 12, verse 13. And chapter 12, verse 14. Let's hear the conclusion of the journal, of the sermon, of the discourse, of the information. Let's get to the summation. Let's get to the end. You know, a lot of times a book climaxes right at the end. Well, Ecclesiastes really climaxes here at the end. I mean, it really does. Let's hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Let's get a perspective this morning, maybe, of the word whole. W-H-O-L-E. Let's hear the conclusion of the whole matter. My body, that I think's mine, and it's really not even mine. Did you know you were stewards? We talked in my class last lesson on spiritual disciplines about stewardship. We didn't get to talk about this one, but my body isn't even mine. I just have it for a number of years. And then I gotta give it back to the dust of the ground. Ecclesiastes 12:7. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. My body, my mind. I'm to be using my mind to give God glory in my life. We're going to talk about, like I said earlier, several lessons, how we can have more healthy, spiritual minds in a secular, worldly, physical world in which we live in. My soul. My spirit. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God, respect God, revere God, trust God, know that God is in control, know that God's going to bring everything I do, verse 14, into a judgment period, and I will stand before that God in that period, whether it's a secret thing, whether it is, and it'll be all brought out in the open, whether it's good or evil, he says. Verse 14 is about preparation. Every one of us, some degree of preparation before we came here today, we had to determine what we were going to wear. What a challenge. What am I going to wear today? What am I going to wear? How to determine, how am I going to get there? What am I going to drive? What time am I going to leave? I don't want to forget my Bible because I know Brother Tom, he's going to ask for my Bible. I hold meetings. The first day, they hold up the Bible. On Monday night, they tell me I got to go to the car and get my Bible because I know what you're going to do. You're going to ask for the Bible. Got to determine, we're going to bring our Bible. A lot of choices, a lot of decisions. Preparation. Back in Amos' day and time, Amos was a... You ready for this? H-F-B-P. You know what that is? Amos was a hell, fire, brimstone preacher. How many of those you think are around still today? Like Amos? Well, not many, because if they were, they would be guillotined. They probably had their head cut off, or they'd be tortured somewhere. But Amos was, he said, get ready to meet God, Israel, get ready, prepare to meet thy God. I want to tell you what Ecclesiastes is about. I didn't put it on the screen because I wanted to tell it to you. And I want you to hear this. We've talked so many weeks about death. I've had two or three of you say, man, I'm tired of talking about death. Well, I'll tell you, I'm going to make an agreement with you. You tell me you're not going to die and I'll quit talking about death. Is that a deal? Amen. See, that's his deal. We can't because we know it is. But let me show you something about Ecclesiastes that maybe I haven't done as good a job communicating as I should. Instead of living shrouded in death, Ecclesiastes teaches us to be shaped by death. Not that it's some mystical event that happens and it's all shrouded in death. Oh, no. Ecclesiastes teaches me how to be shaped by death. That's why I'm led to believe for the faithful believer, death and judgment is not anything that you fear. No wonder Paul said a few years after Solomon, for to me to live is Christ, watch this, and to die is gain. If this world is not my home and I'm just passing through, then for the Christian to die really is G-A-I-N. We got to believe that. We got to believe. You see, what has happened to us in our culture is, and don't misunderstand this, and pardon the pun, but what we do in our culture is we dress death up. We do. You know what I've heard people say? And I've heard it many, many times as I stood at the foot and stood at the head. I'd be insulted if somebody said this about me, but I'm going to tell you what I've heard. They've never looked better. What? Are you serious? They've never looked better. What do you mean they've never looked better? They are a corpse. No life. If you say that about me, I'm going to haunt you. I don't know how, but I'm going to haunt you. I am living my entire life so that when I die, I have a gain. Amen. Now, if you don't have that assurance, do what it takes to get it. Become a Christian. Be faithful to God. Get the clutter of the world out of your life. Quit living short term. Start living long term. And so we sing this morning. Are you ready to die? Let's stand. Let's sing.